Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show.
Hi there.
So the company Apple, which must be just an incredible company to work for. And not only Apple, but you look for all of the Silicon Valley companies, you know, whether it's Facebook or Google or these people, they can dress however they want. No neckties or jackets around. They wear flip-flops. They get free lunch, free food all day. They can go. Can you imagine going to your boss and saying, I want to wear whatever I want to wear, and I want you to feed me. I want you to free food all day long. That's what it's like working for these companies these days. When you're talking about Apple and you're talking about Amazon and you're talking about Facebook and Google.
But I think the difference is that the employees, that's part of the morale that they don't even have to ask. You go through the induction or the training or whatever it is when you're hired, and it's like, oh, by the way, we're going to feed you, you know, two meals a day or whatever it is based on your hours.
And dress however the hell you want to dress.
Yes, which I've been doing for about 30 years.
Well, Apple is now spending $1 billion on their new campus that they're going to open up in Austin, Texas. Yeah, this bothers me because Amazon just said they were going to open up their new campus, and they picked two spots, New York City and then Virginia, and now Apple is doing this in Austin, Texas. Why can't one of these places open up a campus here in New Orleans? Yeah. I know there are some here in the city that don't want it because they have said they've gone on record writing in the Times-Picayune. Well, what would happen with the poor people? If a new campus comes and there's 20,000 more jobs, that means 20,000 people are going to have to find places to live. Where are the poor people going to live? Really? You're going to let the poor people hold us down as a city? Look, the poor people have been holding themselves down for their whole lives. Now you want the poor people to hold down the entire city of New Orleans from getting better and expanding because they're poor? In the year 2018, when there is more money on the face of this earth than there ever has been, poor people. Anyways, the company announced this morning, Apple, it's spending $1 billion to build a brand new campus in Austin, Texas. And the city is already home to one Apple campus that has 6,200 employees, and it's the company's largest campus outside of its headquarters in Cupertino, California. So this new Austin campus is going to be something else, 133 acres. I mean, you're talking about companies that have an unlimited supply of money. Money is no object for Apple. Money is no object for Apple. And the company, Apple will be Austin, Texas's largest employer. They're going to have over 5,000 people working there with a capacity to add 10,000 more people. Did you know that Apple, they're also planning on building new offices in Seattle, San Diego, Culver City, California over the next 3 years? Each of those will have more than 1,000 employees. Again, they can dress whichever way they want. If they want to wear shoes, they can. They don't have to. They don't have to bring any money with them because Apple will feed them at work. This is the future. And the expansion comes after brand new United States tax laws were enacted late last year that prevented Apple from avoiding taxes on international profits. The company announced in January that would invest $30 billion in United States facilities to create over 20,000 American jobs over the next 4 to 5 years. It will also add hundreds of new jobs, Apple, to its existing operations in another 6 United States cities, including New York, Boston, Pittsburgh, and Portland. That's Oregon, not Maine. And they're just going to keep adding, and they're just going to keep getting bigger, and they're just going to keep building new facilities in different places. Apple said that they're also going to invest $10 billion in United States data centers over the next 5 years. It doesn't end. It doesn't end because they can basically, they make so much money, they almost print their own money. And you can thank pretty much one thing for that, the iPhone. Although they have other good things as well, but the iPhone is their biggest cash cow.
But the main question I want to know, and everyone wants to know, are they still going to keep Austin weird, man?
Well,
Are they going to keep Portland, Maine weird? People want to know these things.
I'll tell you what, if anything ever happens with my radio career, I would apply to work at Apple. I probably wouldn't get the gig, but I would dress sloppy and I would show up with no cash. And I would say, hey, this is how Apple employees do it.
In other words, you could leave, go there when you leave here today.
I kind of do that anyways, actually. Yeah. So what a company, though. And you start looking at these companies and the future is endless. And they're just going to keep creating jobs and building buildings and corporations and places where people go to work. It's fantastic.
But I still love my Android.
I'm Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. I just put this story and the accompanying mugshot on the Bayou Facebook page. Be a part of our radio station on Facebook. And if you want to see one of the most ridiculous-looking mugshots you'll ever see in your life, go check that out. Man in cocaine shirt and hat arrested for graffitiing the word cocaine all over Bourbon Street. The story has gone national. It's one of the lead stories on FoxNews.com.
Slow news day, in other words.
Well,
really slow news day.
It's not often where you see some guy, and in this case, he lives in New Orleans. He lives in the Lower Garden District. He's 45-year-old Sean Harrington. It's not every day you see a guy wearing a T-shirt with the word cocaine spray painted on it and a baseball cap with the word cocaine sprayed up on it, walking down one of the most famous streets, not only in New Orleans, but in the United States, with a can of spray paint, spray painting the word cocaine all over Bourbon Street. And this is what happened the other day. It was white spray paint, several locations on Bourbon Street. Crime cameras caught Sean Harrington spray painting the graffiti, the word cocaine. Here's what's interesting. This was early on December 3rd. What's today? Today's December 14th.
Good morning.
This happened early on December 3rd. And he didn't just spray paint the word cocaine while he was wearing a cocaine T-shirt and hat on the ground and on the sidewalks. He also spray painted the word on garbage cans as well. This is the 400 block of Bourbon Street. It's about 2:20 a.m. Monday morning, December 3rd. Two New Orleans police officers from the 8th District were on patrol, and they spotted Harrington wearing a shirt with the word cocaine spray painted on it. He was also wearing a hat with stickers on the hat, too, that read cocaine. Around the same time, camera footage at New Orleans' real-time crime center saw Harrington defacing the ground on Bourbon Street, which is considered a historic landmark. Did you know the ground on Bourbon Street is a historic landmark? You knew that?
I'm not surprised.
But if you, like, just walked off of Bourbon Street, let's say onto St. Louis Street, if you're standing on the corner of Bourbon and St. Louis, and you spray paint on the ground on St. Louis Street, that's less of a crime is if you, let's say you're standing right on the corner and your right foot is on Bourbon Street and your left foot is on St. Louis Street, and you decide to spray paint something on the ground on St. Louis Street by your left foot.
I think we have this scenario. Yeah,
Bourbon
yeah,
Street
yeah,
on yeah. your right foot. Yeah. The crime...
It's like Lookout Mountain. Is that Lookout Mountain or yeah?
Well, the crime would be more The punishment would be worse if you spray painted on Bourbon Street than if you did on St. Louis Street because it's a historic landmark.
You're not doing anything later. Why don't you go try it?
Mm.
Just don't use spray paint. Use something, whitewash or something. Yeah, you probably can't do that either.
The word cocaine was spray painted on the ground at least five times. And then they also saw the word cocaine spray painted on the side of the curb on a city-owned garage. And this is the 400 block of Bourbon Street, at least four waste garbage respectables. That's Sidney Torres's new garbage company, because he's Sidney Torres the fourth. And you see those garbage trucks driving around town, and it's got the one next to the V. And that's four.
Right.
In Roman times. And so...
Thank you.
We see crime a lot here in New Orleans. People get shot here every day in this city. And we see robberies, carjackings. We see people getting beat up. I have never seen a man get arrested for spray painting the word cocaine all over Bourbon Street, which is a historic landmark, while wearing a shirt and hat that say cocaine on it.
We already have a thread going here on your post of his mugshot at the Bayou Facebook page.
Was I lying? Is that maybe perhaps the most ridiculous mugshot you've ever seen? It's up there.
I would agree with that, but Danny says, while on the next corner, there was most likely a robbery and a murder happening.
That's true, too.
But they did get the cocaine sprayer. Some damn fine police work.
Now, this is in newspapers, like I said, all over the country. And, you know, in one of our local papers, someone said maybe he was just trying to show cops where people are dealing cocaine, like maybe in the bars or the businesses right near where he's spray painting cocaine on the street and on the curb and on Sidney Torres's garbage cans.
I don't think so. Do you think so?
I don't know. I'm looking at the mugshot. I don't think anything rational can come from this fella. I wonder if they talked to him, if he said anything, or if he just dummied up. I'm not talking until I get a lawyer. I mean, I wonder if they drug tested him. Because you would think if you're doing coke, if you're high on cocaine, walking around Bourbon Street, the last thing you're going to do is spray paint the word cocaine all over the street and wear a hat and shirt that say cocaine on it. Hell of a drug. And when it comes to cocaine, I've always, I think it's the devil's dandruff. I've always quoted the late musician from the band Jefferson Airplane, Paul Kantner, when he once said many years ago, "If you're still doing cocaine, you failed the drug test." So, this happened December 3rd. It just made news over the last 24 hours. I don't know why it took so long to make not only local news here. I mean, you would have thought that should have been in the newspaper the next day after he got arrested for doing that. But look at it. What's it, a week and a half later?
Well, I'll tell you why. I think some agencies, print agencies, media, they were vetting this mugshot to make sure it didn't come from The Onion or from worldnewsdailyreport.com.
Yeah, this is a real story.
Or another, well, just the picture, though. Real story, but I think they were vetting the picture.
What do you think his bail was? And by the way, he didn't pay his bail for at least 3 days because they took him in on a Monday morning, and I guess they said, I think either Wednesday or Thursday he got out. What do you think the bail is for getting arrested for what I just described? And it took him a couple of days to get it. $500. It's a lot of cocaine. $500.
Is it? I don't know.
It's been many years. I couldn't even tell you. So if you want to go see this story, and if you want to go see one of the more ridiculous mugshots that you'll ever see, And you know, Brewster, whenever I look at a mugshot, I like to say, yeah, you look at this guy. He's got that look in his eye. Yeah, I spray painted the word cocaine all over Bourbon Street while I was wearing a hat and a T-shirt that said cocaine on it. This is one of the most bizarre things that I've ever seen.
I can't conjure up the words to put in this mugshot's mouth. It's just, this. You have to see this. You have to see this on the Bayou Facebook page.
So go check that out and be a part of our radio station, Bayou, on Facebook. Coming up on the show, this is pretty gross. ESPN did a report about arenas and stadiums all over the country, like how dirty they are and what they find in some of the food vending spots. In the Smoothie King Center and the Superdome, this is pretty gross. Some of the things they found where they sell food in those two venues. Stay tuned for that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Are you familiar with actress Eliza Dushku? I really like her. I think she's really good looking. She's from Massachusetts. But she's very, very unique looking. And I think her biggest thing she was ever in was the cheerleading franchise movie Bring It On. And let me tell you right now, if you're into cheerleading franchise movies, if you're into cheerleading franchises on the big screen, I can't think of a better one than Bring It On. Well, the reason I brought her up, CBS just wrote her a check the other day for $9.5 million because she was sexually harassed on the set of the CBS television show Bull. Have you ever watched that show? I've never watched that show. The star of that show, I think he's from Massachusetts too. Jeez. His name is Michael Weatherly.
I think it's a show where he's like one of the paid jury trial experts, I believe.
That's what Dr. Phil did before. That's what he did for Oprah, and then she made him a bigger star.
I don't watch the show, but I believe that's the premise.
Yeah, there are guys that get paid lots of money. You pick out the jury members that you think are going to help your client win the case.
Right.
Eliza Dushku was supposed to be on the show for... She was only on for 3 episodes, then she quit, but it was in her contract that she was going to be written in as a regular character. But after 3 episodes, she said, I couldn't do this anymore. One time during filming, Eliza Dushku's character had to hold up 3 fingers. And when she did that, Michael Weatherly, the star, ad-libbed a response to her about doing a threesome with two men. She didn't like that. Also, while filming another scene, Michael Weatherly ad-libbed another sexually explicit joke about taking her to a rape van. And she
class guy, huh?
That made her uncomfortable. But Brewster, these are things 5 or 10 years ago, she would have just rolled her eyes and just said, "Oh, shut up." But now she's, "Oh no, I'm walking off this show," and CBS just wrote her a check for $9.2 million. She used to be on Buffy the Vampire Slayer too, besides the Bring It On epic cheerleader dramas. Big fan of cheerleader movies.
Yeah, they are epic.
So evidently this kind of stuff is still happening, and this kind of stuff right here used to happen all the time in Hollywood, and it used to happen all the time probably in a lot of businesses. But if you're a man, you just can't do it anymore, even if you're joking. There's no such thing as joking about, hey, come hang out in the rape van. There's no such thing joking about things like that. So she got paid, and we will see where she ends up next. But I've always thought she was really good looking. And I don't think she ever married him, but the guy that used to be in the NBA, Rick Fox, used to play with the Boston Celtics. I don't know who she's... What's going on these days? But she's $9.5 million richer now. All right, coming up on the show, some scary reports about some of the things that are where you buy food at the Smoothie King Center and the Superdome. Stay tuned for that on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So, there's a show on ESPN called Outside the Lines, and it's a good show.
It's a very good show.
Bob Lee, who's been at ESPN basically since it was founded,
yep.
He hosts it, and they always talk about different things on there. They just ran a report on ESPN's Outside the Lines, where they went into all of the arenas where professional sports teams play. And they went into the arenas and the stadiums. And specifically, they went into all of the places where they sell food out of, all the concession booths. And they found a bunch of stuff. It was pretty gross. And our two buildings, our two professional sports venues, the Mercedes-Benz Superdome and the Smoothie King Center, they were both up there when it came to crap that they found where they serve food in those venues.
Now, you're speaking euphemistically, I hope, when you use that word.
Oh, yeah. Stuff,
maybe.
Well, I'm talking about bugs and
stuff and or things.
Yeah, dead stuff like
right.
bugs.
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Right. Vermin.
Although Brewster, nothing would surprise me. Do you know where they have kiosks in McDonald's in Europe? Unlike here, when you walk into a McDonald's in Europe, you don't walk to a counter and order with. There are kiosks all right next to the door.
But a report came out that they were covered with fecal matter.
Every
I saw that.
One of them. That's the public we deal with. That's most people, like, when you're in a crowd, look at the people next to you. They probably are covered in poo somewhere.
But let me ask you this. In your own home, and it's not just you, if you're listening, do you close the lid before you flush the toilet? And I'm going to answer the question for you. No. No one does that. Do you know why there's a lid on the toilet? It's not so that you can close it when company comes over. You're supposed to close the lid and then flush it. Because if not...
Oh, there's all kinds of stuff. I've seen reports on that.
You have basically created a
fecal circus. Yeah.
I'll continue. You have basically created a crap atomizer. It's like you had a perfume sprayer, and you're spraying everything that's in that toilet bowl all over the bathroom and all over your towel that you take a bath with and all over the shower curtain and all over the Kleenex cozy.
So it's safe to say when you're in a crowd with people, look around. The majority of the people that you're right near, they've got crap on them. That somewhere they've got, and it's usually their own crap. It might be their wife's crap, or it might be their whoever's their kids.
Right.
Well, when this report came out about the concession stands and all of the venues where professional sports are played in America, bugs, many of them dead, were found at concession stands at both the Superdome and the Smoothie King Center, according to ESPN's Outside the Lines. This is a report that went from 2016 to 2017, where health inspectors looked around these venues. Health inspectors not only found different types of bugs, they found cockroaches, some large ones, dead ones, at the Smoothie King Center and the Superdome. And again, these cockroaches and these bugs were found in the booths where they sell you food and beverages. They found a bunch of dirty food contact surfaces, dirty floors, and multiple other violations at the Smoothie King Center. And then when they originally found this, they would go back to the Smoothie King Center and they would do a follow-up report, and they still found some dirty stuff, including containers of bananas that contained filthy, putrid, or decomposed substance, which they still weren't sure what exactly the substance was.
How many bananas do you eat when you go to see professional sports?
I was thinking that.
Don't really understand that one.
So the Smoothie King Center was the ninth worst NBA facility in terms of health violations when it came to concessions. So you don't want to. You'd rather be top 10 in the NBA when it comes to your playing, and the way your team is winning games. But they were top 10 when it came to violations, health code violations.
Oh, come on!
Have you ever? And I didn't used to be this way. You know, I was used to be more of a germaphobe. Not so much anymore. I mean, I used to have, you'd remember me. I used to have, I would have, sanitizer, Purell, that stuff, sanitizer, like right here, because there were, at other radio times in my life, there would be more people in the area in which I am now. There aren't, for a variety of reasons, aren't as many dirty, filthy hands touching.
A lot of different hands, and God knows where those hands were. Exactly. Like we were talking about, most people have poo on them.
Yes, crap! Right. Yeah. I'm less so now, but I tell you, I don't know if you've ever... Have you ever been to, like, a ball game? And it doesn't necessarily have to be here, so we don't necessarily need to impugn one of the buildings here. And I would throw in the former Zephyr Field, which is now, what is it now? The Shrine on it? No, it's the Shrine on Airline. And not to impugn them, but it's like you go to a game and you're going to walk to your seat and you're going to touch a rail that everyone else has touched.
Yeah, sure.
And then you go buy a hot dog, some peanuts, and then you start eating and then you realize that you haven't washed your hands before. Oh,
since you touched that rail?
I just want to die, yes.
Well, the good
thing... After having touched a seat or a rail or dirty mud, that just makes me want to just puke.
Well, if you went
last... That's a funny word, puke!
That wouldn't be that big of a deal if you went to the Baby Cakes games last year on the Shrine and Airline, because nobody went.
Right.
So if you're touching the railing, you pretty much, you know...
But crickets.
You'd be safe.
Crickets are the problem out there, yes.
You'd be safe. Anyways, both the Smoothie King Center and... the Superdome were up there, but every city's arena and every city's football stadium, they were all up. They pretty much found the same stuff.
Human beings are disgusting, filthy organisms. There's no question. And I include myself in that.
Like I said, next time you're in a big crowd, look around. The people right near you, not all of them, but some of them, they're covered in crap. And they don't even realize it.
Well, some do.
All right, coming up on the show, Say It Ain't So, but a hamburger landmark in New Orleans that has been here for seemingly ever is no longer open, and it's closed, and it's for sale, and it's no longer here. I'm bummed out about that. We'll explain coming up on Bayou 95.7.
You kill someone!
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. You know who Kirk Herbstreit is, don't you? Kirk Herbstreit, if you watch college football, he's the number one college analyst.
I actually interviewed Kirk Herbstreit once.
Did you?
Well.
I'm not the biggest Kirk Herbstreit fan. I just think he's cliche-ridden, and he repeats himself over and over and over and over again.
Kirk, cookie cutter.
Yeah. But the reason I brought him up, do you know who he replaced? Because he's been there for a few years now. But he replaced a guy that was making millions of dollars a year and flushed his own career down the toilet.
Not Lee Corso. Tell me.
Craig James.
Never thought of that name in a long time.
Craig James was replaced by Kirk Herbstreit after Craig James flushed his own career down the toilet. You might remember Craig James as a player. He came out of SMU before that. He played with, right around the same time, Eric Dickerson was there, right before they got the death sentence. One of the best ESPN 30 for 30s ever is the story of SMU. And then he went on to an NFL career. He was a running back with the New England Patriots. But he had the life until his son went to play college football at Texas Tech. And his son got a concussion. And Craig James and his family didn't like the way then Texas Tech head coach Mike Leach handled the whole situation. Craig James got Mike Leach fired from his job at Texas Tech. He's now the coach at Washington State University. He's a real good coach. But then after Ted, and I guess Craig James thought that he had the people behind him after that whole incident, he ran for senator in Texas. And he lost to an upstart, a guy just starting out by the name of Ted Cruz, in the Republican primary. He ran to the right of Ted Cruz, Craig James. Now, remember, this guy was making millions of dollars. He was the Kirk Herbstreit before Kirk Herbstreit. And basically, he was it. I mean, when Craig James was doing this, there was no SEC network. There was no Pac-12 network. There was no. He was the guy. He was the one guy who gave you opinions about college football. We live in a different world now. But then when he ran for senator, like I said, he ran to the right of Ted Cruz. He started saying things about gay people, how you know, they're going to hell and all of this. And he wasn't going to win talking like that. But when he got fired from his last media job, which was a small Fox Sports outlet in Texas, and they fired him because of his anti-gay statements, he then went and sued them, firing them because they discriminated against him, his religion, and his religious statements. Because that's why he was saying what he was saying about gay people. But I hadn't heard that name in a long time, and then I just saw a little story about him. Craig James was the guy. We're going back over a decade now. But he was replaced by just the very, like you said, cookie cutter, bland, vanilla, cliche reading Kirk Herbstreit, who used to be the quarterback for Ohio State University.
The Ohio State University.
That's where he came from. All right. Coming up next, we will look at today in history. And on this radio show, we call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. And we hope you'll stay tuned for that report.
I need to find the prism, though. We filter this through the prism through a complicated process of light refraction via the prism. Have you seen the prism?
The prism of the John Osterlin Show.
Right.
I'm looking for it now. Suck is next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans. And Lamarck Ford. Let's look at today in history. And we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Nothing's working today. There it is. I wish you, this is right up your alley.
Go ahead.
This is International Monkey Day. I know you're a big monkey fan.
Love monkeys.
You love your primates. December 14th, International Monkey Day. It's an unofficial holiday celebrated on this day. While the holiday is mainly about monkeys, it also celebrates other non-human primates, such as apes and lemurs.
I always thought, Brewster, that if anything was going to overtake the human being, it was going to be the monkey. But I have changed my thinking because with robots and computers now, I think the robots can take over the monkeys.
Wait, can you start over? That was pretty complicated. I'm going to tell you about the origin of this as soon as my screen comes back.
Ooh. No, because when you started seeing a bunch of monkeys walking upright on two feet, you saw monkeys smoking cigarettes. They got addicted to tobacco like humans. I saw some fishing once on a boat. I thought if the human species is doomed, that's what's going to doom us. But over the last few years, I've seen robots do incredible things in computers, and so I think they're going to.
It was a state art student, and state being, in this case, Michigan State, Casey Sorrow. He or she, let's see, I guess it's he, created National Monkey Day when he just jokingly wrote Monkey Day on a friend's calendar. Celebration follow and grew. Visit monkeyday.com to learn more, apparently. And always remember,
take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
Here's another one right up your alley. Thank you. National Bouillabaisse Day. I know you're a big bouillabaisse fan.
What exactly is bouillabaisse?
It's like a...
It's based in bouillon?
It's like a melange of fish and... it's actually not that... It's similar to paella. Seafood lovers everywhere have a reason to celebrate December 14th with National Bouillabaisse Day. There are strong opinions in the culinary world about the proper ingredients. It's basically a fish stew. And its origins are thought to be, just from fishermen along the coast of France, needing to do something with these bony rockfish that they couldn't sell in restaurants or markets. And so bouillabaisse was born. I knew you're a big fan of that. Originating apparently in the port city of Marseille, France, bouillabaisse is a fish stew traditionally made with bony rockfish, saffron, fennel seed, and orange zest.
Who's ever in the mood when you're really hungry for, I gotta have some bony rockfish?
Can't answer that one, but please remember.
You got all this paella?
Mm. Thank you. Now back to you. I don't think we're done. We're out of time.
December 14th. Well, it was today in 2012.
Today doesn't suck.
One of the worst things that ever happened in the history of this country happened. Today is the day that the Sandy Hook shooting occurred in Newtown, Connecticut. That was the elementary school where that lunatic walked in and he killed 20 first graders along with 6 school employees before killing himself. Before he did that, he shot and killed his mother at his house. God, I hope we never see anything remotely close to that horrific. Just those first graders. I mean, what in God's name, first graders? And then you had people saying that never really happened.
I was going to say, as Alex Jones refers to this day, that day, Tuesday.
Could you imagine being one of the parents and hearing that? Might own to me.
I mean, they use the photo of the dark-haired woman crying that has been seen at all of these various scenes.
Mass shootings, yeah. They're like, right. Well, that woman, she's a paid actress.
Right. Well, and there's some Photoshop, I think, involved there as well. Because she apparently was at Sandy Hook. She was at the Boston Marathon bombing. She's all over the place. But it's just too convoluted to even give airtime to, so let's not.
Yeah. I can't believe people that think that stuff is true.
Right.
December 14th. Oh, Brewster, I thought of you when I saw this.
I've asked you not to do that.
The Brickyard was completed today in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Yes.
1909.
Why today doesn't suck?
First designed as a motorcycle track, a test track.
Well, it was today that workers placed the last brick of the 3.2 million bricks.
That's right.
10-pound bricks that paved the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and that's it, right. Was completed today.
That's my mecca. That's my... everybody has their own, whether it's some people, it's Yankee Stadium. It might be Tiger Stadium for some in Death Valley. But I walk in that place and I get goosebumps.
Well, to this day, aren't you seen there every year?
Twice.
How about that?
At least twice.
How about that, Mr.?
In May for the 500. And even though I don't really follow NASCAR anymore because they ruined it, I do still attend the Brickyard 400. And this past... September was the 25th in a row. But enough about me.
Mr. Brickyard.
Yeah, I'll take that moniker.
December 14th. Got a celebrity birthday here, although he's not with us anymore.
Happy heavenly birthday, we guess.
Actor Peter O'Toole.
Do you want to revise that?
I want to revise it. Today's not Peter O'Toole's birthday. Today's the day he died. It's his death day. He died today in 2013.
Today doesn't suck?
The reason I brought that up is according to his biography, he was with over 1,000 women.
No question. That's probably a conservative estimate.
Well, he lived up to his name.
Right.
You know, Peter O'Toole.
Exactly.
And one of those women.
How old are you again?
One of those women, Barbara Streisand.
Wow, I had not heard that one.
Yeah.
I got Peter O'Toole, not Rex Harrison. Who am I thinking of? It'll come to me. Or maybe it won't.
Well, here's a couple of celebrity birthdays for you, Brewster. Original AC/DC bass player Cliff Williams is celebrating a birthday today.
Yes, born on this date in 1949.
Why today doesn't suck?
And it's also say happy birthday to the head football coach of the San Francisco 49ers, Kyle Shanahan. He's only 39 years old, and he's not even close to being the youngest head coach in the NFL. That's the Rams head coach.
Yes.
But and Kyle Shanahan, the son of former football coach Mike Shanahan.
It was on this date, December 14th, in 1984.
Why today doesn't suck.
This is just, I don't know if there's any footage of this, any audio of this. George Harrison joins Deep Purple on stage during their concert in Sydney, Australia. I guess he happened to be there. They happened to be touring and were playing there, so he jumped up on stage. If you recall, 1984 was the reunion year for the classic Mach 2 lineup, being Ritchie Blackmore, Ian Gillan, Ian Paice, Roger Glover, and John Lord.
And maybe former Beatle George Harrison loved that lineup.
Apparently loved it enough to jump up on stage. That was in support of their album at that time, Perfect Strangers. It was on, in a related story, it was on this date, December 14th, 1999.
Why today doesn't suck.
Paul McCartney performs at the Cavern Club in Liverpool for the first time in, let's see, that would be 36 years, since 1963. During the concert, Pink Floyd guitarist Dave Gilmour and Deep Purple drummer Ian Paice joined McCartney on stage.
Wow, all of these That's Beatles cool. Deep Purple meetings.
And that something. It was on this date. I've got a couple more here. Sad event on this date, December 14th, 2006.
Why today doesn't suck.
After having slipped and hit his head at a Rolling Stones concert a few weeks earlier, 83-year-old founder of Atlantic Records, Ahmet Erdogan, passed away. You talk about somebody who was...
I didn't know that's how he died.
Yes.
Because he fell at a Rolling Stones concert?
Hit his head, yes.
Are you trying to outdo Keith Richards?
You know, Keith Richards has stopped drinking.
I read that.
And in a related story, the Earth has spun off its axis and is spinning out of control. And on this date, another one of your favorites up there with Monkees and Bouillabaisse. On this date, December 14th, 1979.
Why today doesn't suck.
The Clash released their third album, London Calling, which went on to reach number 27, blah, blah, blah. Nobody cares, but the album charts.
Great album.
Selling 1 million copies in the United States, becoming one of the most critically acclaimed albums of all time.
And quickly, it was December.
Quickly and finally.
Finally, December 14th. It was today in 1977.
Why today doesn't suck.
A movie made its world premiere and it launched a musical juggernaut. The movie was great. The musical juggernaut it launched was not. 1977. I'll give you a hint, Brewster.
It's not Grease.
He hit me in my hair.
Saturday Night Fever.
Saturday Night Fever makes its world premiere tonight, 1977. It's a great movie, although it launched disco, and disco, in my opinion, was not a really cool kind of music.
Right. And it's a segment that we call
yes.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
All right. Coming up on the show, I got to tell you about this place that was an institution in New Orleans that is no longer open. And this is breaking news, and it's breaking my heart. Stay tuned for that coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Got a follow-up on a story we talked about not that long ago on the show. But this is... This is sad. Bud's Broiler, the one right by City Park, place that's been there for a long time, open 24 hours a day. It is no longer open. It is no longer Bud's Broiler. When we told you when we talked about what was happening here a couple of weeks ago on the show, we said that the person who owned that location on City Park Avenue was being sued by the Bud's Broiler Corporation because the owner wasn't buying their hamburger meat and buying other condiments through the Bud's Broiler where she was supposed to buy them. And so that's why they first sued her, and now she's closed it, and the Bud's Broiler out of business. And the entire building is for lease. Alfred Bud Saunders, he founded Bud's Broiler. The first Bud's Broiler, known for its charbroiled hamburgers. The first one was in 1952 on Airline. He opened the City Park location, the one we're talking about right now, 4 years later in 1956. And not only did he open it there, Bud lived in the apartment above the Bud's Broiler restaurant. It's like an old house.
Now, would that be a good thing or a bad thing to have the aroma of Bud's Broiler 24 hours a day in your home?
Well, I wouldn't mind it because I love Bud's Broiler. And plus,
you would walk around your clothes, your hair, everything. You would reek Bud's Broiler. Maybe that's a good thing to you.
I don't think Alfred J. Bud Saunders cared. I think he cared more about his short commute. Just walk down the stairs and then you're at work. Currently, there are about six. I think there are a half a dozen.
I was counting here. There's one.
Bud's Broilers in the New Orleans area.
Three. Five, I think four.
Huh, the thing I'm saying says there's six, but that's okay. That's the one that I'll always know by City Park, because I had a friend that used to live right around the corner from there, and every time I'd go over his house,
right. We'd
walk around the corner to Bud. And it didn't matter. It was always open, 24 hours a day, whether it was 4 in the afternoon or 4 in the morning, it didn't matter. And you watch them, because you could stand there at the counter, you'd order your burger, you'd watch them take the burger, put it on the broiler or char broiler.
You're a simple fellow, aren't you?
Well, it's nice when you could see everybody do everything in front of you there, you know, when so many filthy people out there these days. So, but it looks like it's over unless someone else wants to come in and buy a... open another Bud's Broiler.
Well, you have experience in failed restaurants. You want to give it a go?
Yeah, I could give it a go for a couple of years. You know, I work here in the morning, and then I could get over there in the afternoon. And
you're done by like 10:30 every day.
Yeah, I could get over there and for lunchtime. But we'll see what opens up over there, if anything. But I that's one of those legendary New Orleans places, and you could add that to the list of the things that ain't there no more.
That location, anyway.
That location, yeah. All right, speaking of burgers, coming up next, a Victoria's Secret model is taking a lot of heat because she decided to go work out in front of a burger place, and some are saying that she was shaming people inside. We'll break it down for you coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Hey, if you're looking for something to do tonight, join me along with some real funny comedians over in Metairie at Shenanigans. This is what we do every year around Christmas time. We join the Marines, Toys for Tots, and it'll be a good time tonight. If you bring a new toy, I'm going to be telling some jokes along with Kerry B. I don't know if you know who he is. Very funny comedian. And friends of mine, James Cusimano, J.D. Sledge, and more. It's tonight, starting at 7 o'clock. It's just $5 to get in if you bring a new unwrapped toy. And I think it's $10 to get in if you don't bring a toy. But all of that money goes to the Toys for Tots. Everything to help give the kids Christmas presents this year. So that starts tonight at 7 o'clock. If you want to laugh and help out people, how do you beat that? Hopefully we'll see you at Shenanigans in Metairie. And if you go, say hi. So I saw this story, and I had a first check if it was The Onion or if it was one of those fake news sites that you see people post stories from before.
My new favorite is, The Onion. Here's the difference. The Onion is so far out there with satire that you read it and it's ridiculous.
Plus, they've been around so long now, everybody knows The Onion is fake.
But the one that I enjoy in an obtuse way is worldnewsdailyreport.com, because they're trying to write their headlines in such a way as, I mean, it's almost like the thing at the checkout counters, the Star magazine.
Not
National Enquirer, but the one, you know, a gorilla boy found found on Mars, or whatever.
With the craziest pictures to accompany
exactly.
The craziest headline. And the problem with that website, Brewster, not everybody realizes it's fake. People post that like it's real.
And part of the problem for people, although I think that whoever's behind this website capitalizes on that, is there actually is worldnewsdaily.com. I think that's my Michael Savage's. I think he's a radio host. I think he's a national guy. I think he's I think he's involved with that one. But I've always enjoyed The Onion. I enjoy worldnewsdailyreport.com.
Well, here's a headline that I thought came out of one of those, but it didn't. This is legitimate news. This is real news. KFC now sells a fire log that will unleash the aroma of fried chicken. Now, I know fireplaces aren't used that much around here, once in a while when it gets cold. But would you like your living room to smell like fried chicken? And not only fried chicken, KFC fried chicken. Because that's what they're selling. They say, tis the season. It's the perfect time to light up that fireplace. And wouldn't you like that your room, wherever your fireplace is, to smell like KFC's fried chicken?
I'm going to say no. But I'm a KFC fan.
Well, there are some people that really, really love fried chicken. And I think this might be taking that love to an extreme level.
As we were talking in earlier about the story with Bud's Broiler and how you mentioned the founder of Bud's Broiler back in the day lived above a Bud's Broiler.
Mm-hmm.
And then ostensibly, if that one was open 24 hours a day, then you would have that aroma. I shouldn't say smell, but you have that aroma permeating your home around the clock, and you thought that would be like a good thing.
Well, Bud always smelled like a burger.
But that's in your walls. That's on the paint. That's in your clothes. That's in your hair. Do you really want to walk around smelling like a two-piece from KFC? You have to look in the mirror and ask yourself that question.
Well, it's
because the smell's never going to go away. Once the log burns out, it's Mrs. Brewster and I moved into a two-story house. And when we are cooking actively, the smell goes right up to the second floor. And then after we've eaten and did the washing up and everything, the smell is still lingering like on the first floor. It's the damnedest thing.
Well, this is called the KFC 11 Herbs and Spices Fire Log. It's available for $18.99 at their they have their own website too, KFCFireLogs.com.
I think that's what a two-piece goes for at KFC, $18.
Is that something you would like, your living room where you're sitting, where you're watching movies and ball games and hanging out? Would you like that to smell?
No.
Like fried Kentucky Fried Chicken?
I'll tell you why, because it's a passing thing. It's an anticipatory thing. If you pass by a bakery and you smell fresh bread or you pass by a KFC people don't like KFC around here, frankly. I think there's only one or two left that I know of because people like Popeyes.
Sure.
People like churches in this area. But it's you're sitting there watching a movie, and I mean, what's the call to action here? Do you then light up the log and then go to get a bucket of chicken? Do they still have buckets? I don't know.
Then
once you've eaten it, do you still want to continue to smell fried chicken? I maintain no.
Now, I wonder if they just have the one scented fire log.
Well,
or if they have a couple of different ones, like one could smell like the fried chicken, the mashed potatoes, and the gravy, because that gravy has its own scent.
Sure. You could get a biscuit flavored scented. Wouldn't it be flavored? It'd be scented. Biscuit scented.
This isn't the first time KFC has done something like this. 2 years ago in 2016, KFC gave away 3,000 bottles of Colonel Sanders Extra Crispy Sunscreen, which smelled like fried chicken. If you were going to the beach or you're going to be out in the sun and you needed a sunscreen to protect your skin.
How did I miss that?
And you would have been roasting. You would have, can you imagine that with the KFC sunscreen, the Colonel Sanders sunscreen on you underneath a hot frying sun, all of a sudden you are smelling like fried chicken.
I'm going to say no.
That lotion quickly sold out. So there are people that wanted to smell like a chicken frying in the sun. And I bet you it's some of those people that are going to be buying the KFC 11 Herbs and Spices Fire Log for this holiday, this Christmas season. When people come over, they're going to walk in and, do you smell KFC? Yeah, the Fire Log!
What happened to the potpourri Christmas smells of cinnamon and clove and allspice and...
Hell, those are cliche.
Yeah, that's...
Why smell like everybody else's living room when your living room could smell like a KFC chicken?
Oh, yeah.
You know my mother made all this paella?
Yeah.
All right, coming up on the show, we're going to tell you about the Victoria's Secret model who's taking some heat because people are saying that she fat-shamed some folks where she decided to work out. We will tell you coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So this Victoria's Secret model has taken some heat this morning. Her name is Kelly Gale. She's stunning, of course. What she did that's getting her the heat is she worked out in her workout outfit with jumping rope right in front of the front door at an In-N-Out Burger. And this is in Monterey, California. And the video clip, which she has since taken down because people got so mad at her.
I can find it.
She's doing jumping jacks in front of the In-N-Out Burger in Monterey, California, right in front of the front door. And there are people going in and out behind her. And the people, let's just say, aren't in the best shape who are going in and out of the In-N-Out Burger. And so some thought that the 23-year-old Victoria's Secret model, Kelly Gale, was doing that just to fat shame people. And so she's taking all kinds of crap. You know, you bring attention to yourself like this. This one person tweeted, "Who the hell does Kelly Gale think she is? How dare you fat shame others? Hashtag Kelly Gale. In-N-Out Burger is the best, and you can eat whatever you want, Miss Gale, but please don't be so pathetic and unkind to others. Hashtag entitlement is not cute. Hashtag In-N-Out." Now, I don't know why. She hasn't said why she's doing this. And although she did say when the video started rolling, she said, I don't eat here. She's like, you think I eat here? She right. goes, no, I don't. I'm not going to pretend that I eat here because I don't. And then she said, come on, time to hustle for the muscle. And then she started working out in her workout outfit.
What did she say?
Hustle for the muscle.
Okay.
And
kids these days.
See, I see that, and I just see a beautiful woman, a Victoria's Secret model,
right.
jumping rope. Other people see that as fat shaming because she's doing it in front of In-N-Out Burger, which I love, by the way. See, I love the model, and I love the In-N-Out Burger, so I win. I'm a two-time winner here.
Yes. You're an animal.
Coming up next, another big drug bust in St. Tammany Parish. They got some more heroin. H, dirt, junk, garbage, Shanghai Sally, just one taste. They got a bunch of that off the streets. We'll tell you about that arrest coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. There was a big drug bust, another one, in St. Tammany Parish. And the drug busts that we have reported on this radio show in St. Tammany Parish have all been pretty much the same. They've all been cars that were driven by brown people, pulled over, and they had a bunch of heroin in them. And this is another one. Deputies in St. Tammany seize about 9 pounds of heroin, junk, in a traffic stop near Covington. Black tar heroin, too, not just any type of heroin. And they've arrested two women from Houston, Texas, after making the traffic stop yesterday, right near Covington. They pulled over a vehicle on Louisiana 21, right near Highway 1085, after the driver committed a traffic violation. And that's always what these stories say. A driver committed a traffic violation, and most of the times in the story, we don't even know what that violation was. But they pulled over the car, and the driver of the car, 39-year-old Gabriela Gonzalez, and her passenger, 42-year-old Elizabeth Alvarez, they told deputies they were traveling from Houston, but then they gave contradicting information about their destination. So that's what cops do when they pull you over. They'll ask, there's a couple of people in the car, they'll ask one person some questions, and they'll go ask the other person some questions. And then if they get contradicting information, there's trouble. And so that's when the deputies got the Sheriff's Office Narcotics Task Force Unit and Homeland Security Investigations and the drug-smelling canine Echo out to the scene. And they found the container of heroin in a container inside the vehicle. And then the women were booked into the St. Tammany Parish Jail on one count each of possession with intent to distribute a Schedule I controlled dangerous substance. That's heroin.
Assuming that the published United States estimated value of heroin at $200 per gram, that is one pound equals 453.592 grams times 200.
A lot of money.
$816,465.60.
That's the street value of the smack.
That's nine. You said 9 pounds.
Yes.
That's 9 pounds of heroin. Give or take.
And the driver was also booked with a following too closely charge. Well, hey, okay, well, now we know why they got pulled over.
Scoff law.
She was following too closely. Well, we've done a few stories like that. There's a lot of heroin that travels through St. Tammany Parish. And it goes, evidently, it comes in from Mexico. It gets into Texas. And then from Texas, they're on their way to Atlanta or they're on their way to maybe some East Coast cities. And they always drive right through St. Tammany Parish. And boy, St. Tammany Parish, they've...
Here they come now.
Yeah, they've caught some of these people. It just makes you wonder, I mean, if they're only catching a few, it makes you wonder how much smack travels through St. Tammany Parish on a weekly or monthly basis. You know, the last time we did a story like this, it was a week or two ago on the show, Brewster. The driver is actually Mexican. It was a Mexican guy that got stopped in St. Tammany Parish. And he got pulled over for a traffic violation. That's what these heroin dealers and these heroin mules, these heroin movers, that's what they have to realize. You know, if you're moving almost $1 million worth of heroin in your car, you don't follow too closely. If you're going to change lanes, you got to use your signal. And all of the stuff on your car has to be working properly.
Right.
If you're going to be moving about $1 million worth of heroin through St. Tammany Parish,
it just makes good sense.
So these women, they're probably not going to be in a hurry to get out of prison because when you just lost about $1 million worth of heroin, you're going to have to go once you get out of prison, wherever that smack came from, you're going to have to go tell the people, look. I don't have it anymore. Why? Well, I was following too. I got pulled over because I was following too closely on the highway.
You'll never believe what happened.
Yeah,
it was the darndest thing.
Who knew though? Who knew that all of this stuff is moving through St. Tammany Parish again? I know Atlanta is a huge destination for this stuff, and then other East Coast cities as well. Moving towards the East Coast and heading up north, and I guess it's got to get there somehow, and through our roads, and the people that get arrested for it all seem to be of one nationality. The stories that we read, so and boy, you know, St. Tammany Parish. The last couple of days, they've been in the news for a couple of other reasons as well. And we mentioned it yesterday on the show, and if you watched the news last night, I'm sure you saw it. It was a lead story on the local news around here. I mean, a sheriff, a former longtime sheriff up there, you know, he was getting in trouble for one thing, and then something else just came up, and he may be in trouble for this. Just extremely disturbing. And we're talking about the former sheriff, Sheriff Jack Strain, who was already being looked at because a couple of his not only deputies under him when he was sheriff of St. Tammany Parish, but a couple of his childhood friends who then went on to become deputies under him, they got themselves arrested because them and their two kids were running a work release program. And come to find out, every prisoner that got sent to that program, there was money involved. And they would take some of that money and they would kick back to their boss at the time, former St. Tammany Parish Sheriff Jack Strain. And so while they were doing that investigation of the former sheriff taking the kickbacks, they then all of a sudden, which we talked about yesterday on the show, said, we have some new things we're looking into when it comes to former Sheriff Jack Strain, that he sexually abused at least four underage teenagers, both male and female. And now they're trying to link those two crimes together. They're saying that the reason that former St. Tammany Parish Sheriff Jack Strain put those particular childhood friends who grew up to become deputies under him, put them in charge of the work release program with their sons, where they were getting all that cash. He did that because they knew about him, the sexual abuse with the underage teenagers.
And, allegedly.
Allegedly, and that's why they got that gig. This is, it's horrifying. It's horrific. I mean, he's one of the guys that, one of the elected officials that I never, I always thought, wow, the guy's doing a good job up there. When you look at some of the elected officials that we have here in New Orleans, I never thought the former longtime sheriff of St. Tammany Parish, Sheriff Strain, I never thought he would be involved in stuff like this. And I saw on the news last night, Brewster, they were interviewing some people in St. Tammany Parish. They are very, very upset. They're horrified. They're saying, how could this have happened? And now they're just trying to get all of the details they possibly can. The sheriff, the former sheriff, Strain, hasn't said anything yet. He hasn't released a statement yet. But we know that his former underlings, they're talking. They're cooperating because they want to get as much of their prison sentence reduced as possible. And we knew that former Sheriff Jack Strain was probably going to be going to prison for the work release program, the kickbacks he was taking from that. But now this just popped up. Extremely horrifying. And just pay attention to the local news for the latest details on that. Just awful stuff. All right, coming up on the show, we've got the dumbest thing that we read all week. And also, some people who live in New Orleans are not happy with the production crew for the hit television show NCIS New Orleans. And we'll tell you why. Stay tuned for those reports on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock.
Wrong! Do it again!
So, the TV show that's filmed here, NCIS New Orleans, it's a pretty hit show. It's a pretty big show. Do you know how many?
You said hit or hip or both?
Well, I said hit.
Okay.
Because it has a lot of people watching it. Do you know how many people watch that show?
No.
It's the 15th, as of last week, numbers that were done last week, it's the 15th most watched television show on television. About 8.3 million viewers.
I guessed 8.1.
Oh, you were just off. It's a good show, but there are some people around here that aren't happy with it because they're not happy with the way when they go into some neighborhoods to film, they're not happy with the way they're being treated. And this one guy who lives uptown, he's had it. He's a Democrat from New Orleans. His name's Neil Abramson, and he's the House Ways and Means Committee Chairman. And they came into his neighborhood to film, and he wasn't happy with the way that they were. Angered by the NCIS New Orleans production crew banging into trees near his uptown home and yelling at a neighbor's child, the chairman of one of the Louisiana legislature's most powerful committees yesterday asked state officials to come up with new rules of behavior. Neil Abramson told the story how large trucks came onto his street late one evening without warning, blocking off his street, filling up all the parking spaces, and setting up loud generators to film a scene for the hit CBS crime drama, NCIS New Orleans. He was upset because he or none of the neighbors had been told that this was going to happen. You know, usually when NCIS films some big scenes around here, like when they shoot off fireworks or they're going to shoot off guns in a certain neighborhood in New Orleans, they always let you know.
Yeah, they have to. And then the local police agency will also inform folks as to whether or not it's going to involve disruption to traffic and street closures, et cetera. They do a lot through the camera. I'll just point that way. They do a lot of camera angles and whatnot, and they use the express lane from over the connection. They'll do that a lot, and a lot of the pyrotechnics they'll do up there so as not to disrupt neighborhoods.
Well, from what the chairman of the Louisiana House Ways and Means Committee said, Neil Abramson, he says, you know, it all surprised him that night. He said, it led me to realize that there's probably a gap in our program where there's a lack of relationship between the production companies and the local community to make sure this goes a little more smoothly. He says it's not about compensation. He's not looking for any money.
Right.
He said it's about convenience and respect. And if you're going to be filming scenes for that show in neighborhoods late at night, we should know about it before you bring in all of your trucks set up. And I don't think that's asking too much. And
you
would think that the producers of this show, you would think that they already have this stuff taken care of.
But I would like to hear whether or not that is the general consensus or whether or not Mr. Abramson is alone in his objection to their treatment of his domicile, of his realm. Do others feel this way as well? Because this is the first that I've heard of. I mean, the show's been in production, 5 years?
Yeah, a while now.
4 or 5 years?
Well, if it was your street and you couldn't get on it to get home, or if it was one of your children who got yelled at by one of the production crew because they were in the way.
How many sides are that to that? I mean.
So we'll see what gets done, but a call has been put in to Special Agent Dwayne Pride to see if he can handle this himself.
Very good.
He'll take care of all of this.
Yes. How?
Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all week.
I can tell you right now, we have a runner-up, which may, I don't know, we'll do it like a runner-up, but I think it may be the dumbest thing this year.
Stay tuned. That's next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. It's Friday morning. It's about 8:35. This is where we do our segment that we call the dumbest thing that I read all week.
Things.
Well, because we always have a couple of runners up. And look, we put a lot of hard work into do this radio show every day.
We really don't. Well, just read the first runner.
Some of the stuff we go through.
Yeah, we don't need to look behind the curtain.
Okay, here's my runner-up.
Yeah. I'm telling you, mine should be the winner, but go ahead. I mean, the winner for the year.
All right, here's my runner-up.
All right.
Bank teller tricks bank robber into giving her his driver's license. Listen to this. This guy in Columbus, Ohio goes in to rob a bank, right? And he walked up to the teller, Huntington Bank in Columbus, Ohio, and he gave the teller a note saying he was armed.
Sure.
And he was demanding money. Okay, now we see that. The teller gave the man the stack of cash, but he demanded more money from the electronic cash recycle machine in the lobby of the bank. That's when the bank teller said, okay, well, if you want that, I need your driver's license to dispense that cash. And wouldn't you know, the 51-year-old bank robber took out his wallet, gave the bank teller his driver's license, thinking that that's what that machine needed to dispense the cash.
Right.
But the bank teller was tricking him. And
pretty clever.
Yeah, very clever. You know, a quick-thinking bank teller, when someone comes in with a weapon, with a gun and a note.
Right.
And she still kept her cool, and so as soon as the guy walked out of the bank, and he actually left
left his driver's license there. The cops, it didn't take very long for the cops to corral him in.
Cool.
I like that.
All right, my turn?
Yeah, give me something dumb.
The following story may contain some details that some listeners might find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Mortified mother sends her 5-year-old son to his school's nativity scene with a shepherd costume from Amazon, only to discover it came with a blow-up sex doll sheep.
Huh.
Not a standing headline. And I should mention that you and I don't share our stories. We only discern whether or not we might duplicate our efforts.
No, like this morning, you asked me, does your dumb story have anything to do with a blow-up doll that came with an Amazon
toy? No, I didn't say that. Because I just, no. Dateline, Aloha, Clackmannanshire, in the central lowlands of Scotland. That sheep you've got there. Oh, knock it off. A mother sent her 5-year-old to a school nativity scene with a shepherd costume she bought online before realizing it came with a blow-up sheep sex doll. Helen Cox of Aloha, Clackmannanshire, in those central lowlands of Scotland, bought her son Alfie, 5, a €16 fancy dress costume on Amazon for his school's nativity play, and he was delighted it came with a blow-up sheep.
Young Alfie Cox.
She was puzzled when a teacher told him to take the sheep home until she blew it up and found it had an anatomically correct opening in its bottom, as well as red lips and eyelashes.
Huh.
Mother of two, Mrs. Cox, 46, found the exact same sheep was on sale as a stag night bonkin sheep. This is like a party at your house. And is now devising a way to steal it away from unaware Alfie, who's become attached to said sheep.
Oh, boy.
Mrs. Cox is a psychology student, and she said, quote, I just can't believe it. I don't know whether to laugh or cry. How am I going to explain this to his teachers? The item, which she bought on Amazon in November, was listed as LaBrie's Kids Boys Brown Shepherd Costume with Inflatable Sheep Nativity Fancy Dress Outfit.
So it did.
This is on Jay Peterman's catalog, I believe.
It did say it had an inflatable sheep that was coming with
correct.
The costume.
Correct, because there is a version of the shepherd's costume which comes with an anatomically ambiguous blow-up sheep.
Oh.
It arrived 2 weeks later, and after checking the costume fit, the mother packaged it up in a name-tagged bag for Alfie to take to school. But when she went to pick him up on December 6th, a week before the Feast of the Nativity, I think, she noticed the sheep in his bag. She thought he was being a naughty boy taking it home. She asked him, why have you brought the sheep home, Alfie? It was supposed to be part of the costume. I've never heard that before. Is that always in there? When they got home, she blew it up for young Alfie to explain. She says, it took forever to blow up. I stood there blowing and blowing until the air reached his legs. I hurriedly popped the stopper back in so it wouldn't deflate and suddenly spotted the huge hole in the bum. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I told Alfie it didn't look like a proper sheep because it had a mustache, red lipstick, and a bow on its head, but he still wanted to play with it. I couldn't think of any more reasons why not. Alfie soon discovered the hole and asked what it was for, and his mother told him it was for the sheep's toilet paper.
Hey, quick thinking.
Without knowing how to get the sex sheep back from her son, Mrs. Cox has now devised a plan to get the sheep back without any awkward explanation by telling young Alfie that the elf on the shelf took it.
Hey, she's a quick thinker.
And that is not from worldnewsdailyreport.com, nor it is from The Onion. That is from...
really happened.
That is from... my God, that's from the Daily Mail in the UK. That British rag.
All right.
And now,
here is the dumbest thing that I read all week.
Oops, wrong music. You have to admit, though, that's a pretty good contender. If we were to do the dumbest things we read all year, that would be a good contender.
I still say the guy who got arrested for breaking into the New Orleans jail. I mean, that's just...
It's gold, Jerry. I tell you, it's gold.
All right, here we go. Man arrested after he asked cops to test his methamphetamine after he has a violent reaction. And yes, this man lives in Florida. A man who thought he was having a bad reaction to methamphetamine asked deputies in Florida to test the drug, saying he wanted to press charges against his dealer. 49-year-old Douglas Kelly of Hawthorne, Florida, told detectives from the Putnam County Sheriff's Office that he had a violent reaction after smoking methamphetamine he purchased, and he wanted investigators to take a look at the product. He thought he got ripped off by his meth dealer, so he wanted the cops to test the meth to prove that it was no good, and then he was going to send the cops to go arrest his meth dealer. The suspect, Doug Kelly, said he believed because of his violent reaction after he had smoking the meth that he was sold the wrong narcotic, and he told the detectives in the drug unit he wanted that substance tested, and then he wanted to press charges on the person who sold him the shoddy meth. But the cops didn't even have to go that far because they just arrested him, and they said, we really don't care. I mean, if you want to give us the name of your dealer, we'll go after him too. But how many drug users call the cops because they want to go after their dealer because they don't like the drugs that they got? And they still have the drugs, and they want the cops to actually test the drugs to prove their drug-hazed point. Well, that's exactly what 49-year-old Douglas Peter Kelly of Hawthorne, Florida did. Some days being a cop is easier than other days.
And
this is one of those days.
And that is
the dumbest thing I read all week.
It's almost kind of like a sheep.
Yeah, there are some days I literally feel dumber after I read these things. On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock, Led Zeppelin. Hey, yesterday we told you how Kotex tampons have been recalled. You can bring the affected tampons back to where you bought them and get a refund, no strings attached. It's our commercial free ride next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. I was just reading to somebody, one of my friends shared on Facebook a story of a man in Virginia who was using a flamethrower to clear his driveway of snow. And he's just wondering if the guy's an idiot or if it's brilliance. I'll tell you, if I had a flamethrower, it's one of the things I'd use it for. And that's just about going to do it for the show. Quick reminder, Clint Eastwood's brand new movie opens today. It's called The Mule, not to be confused with the latest work from porn star Stormy Daniels. But you know the Clint Eastwood movie is going to be good because everything he does is great. Have a great, safe weekend. Ginty is next. Ginty! We'll chat again Monday morning, 5:30 on Bayou 95.7.